Welcome to today's AMAG monthly call taking place on Tuesday, 24th of May 2016 at 1200 UTC. On today's call we have Ellen Greenberg, Garth Bloom, Maureen Hilliard, Holly Rage, Sebastian Bachaudet, Wanda Scartedini, John Ojedici, Ron Sherwood, Cheryl Langenor, Daniel Nandasa, Rinalia Abdulrahim, Silanesh Vardanya, Sandian Zinovye, Izan Mambusa, Aliyev Meshan, Candice Mendez. On Spanish channel, we have Maritza Aguero and Alberto Sosa. On the French channel, we have Abdul-Jalil Bashar Bonk. Currently, we don't have anyone on the Russian channel. We have apologies from Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Paul Ludwig, Kylie Kahn, Julie Hammer, Sandra Hofreiter, Lee Mecker, and Bastian Gosling. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Liang, Sylvia Vivanco, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Yishin Lazar. Our French interpreters today are Claire and Isabel, our Spanish interpreters, Veronica and Claudia, and our Russian interpreters are Galina and Yulia. Finally, I'd like to remind everyone to state their names while speaking, not only for the transcript purposes, but also for interpretation purposes as well. Over to you, Ellen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We have a packed agenda, and we're starting rather late today, but hopefully we'll get through it without running too much overtime. We do have a session at the end which might be in camera, which would be restricted to the ALAC members and the formal liaisons to other ICANN bodies. The first item is any action items that are outstanding that require the involvement of the ALAC. Heidi?
Alan, there are none. Thank you.
Perfect. 5 minutes back. Thank you. Policy development activities. Do we have Ariel on the line? We do.
Thanks, Alan. This is Ariel Leon for the record. We have two statements that are in progress. There's one is drafted by Holly and Carlton. And it's in response to the request for input in the next generation RDS to replace with PDP working group. And they just uploaded the first draft to the wiki workplace, and now it's a period for soliciting comments from that large community. And another one that's in progress is with regard to the request for input from the new GTLD subsequent procedures working group. In fact, I have to. I need to put preliminary list of the ALAC policy advice statements related to new GTLDs in consultation with Alan, Cheryl, and Olivia. And I plan to finish this task by the end of this week, and then you will be able to see the list sometime later this week. So these are the two in progress.
Ariel, the GTLD one you have is a closing date a week ago, is that correct?
No. GTLD closing day is June the 17th.
Okay, you have May the 17th, or at least at the time I printed out the agenda, it was May 17th.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I probably put the wrong date there.
That's okay.
It's June the 17th.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
No problem. And then there's one public comment that's new, and I think, Alan, you're going to talk about that in the later part of the agenda, is regarding the revisions to ICANN expected standards of behavior.
Yes, that is on the agenda later.
Yes.
And that's all from me.
Any comments from anyone else?
No.
Nothing? Then, again, we've gained a bit of time. The review of any ALS applications or process.
Hi, Alan. This is Heidi.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Okay, so we have some changes here. We currently have 193 at-large structures. That is down a little bit because several were decertified from Norello, and there's a list on the agenda of those decertified. We also have a new ALS, which is WZRI in Norello in Vienna. And then there are currently several applications, pending, including for regional advice. And those are in Urallo, Lac Rallo, and Afrallo. Oh, sorry. Those are that's the regional advice that has been received, and the regional advice waiting is in Lac Rallo for one at-large structure. And there are several that staff are currently processing the due diligence for. And that is it, Alan.
Thank you very much. Any comments on ALSs? Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, we will go on to reports. Reports, we normally don't have extensive reports from any entities, work groups, RALOs, liaisons, but if anyone would like to highlight anything or where we are, I would welcome any input. Julie, I see, is not on. Maureen, you are the only one, actually, because Olivier is not on either, and he gave me nothing to present. Go ahead, Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Maureen for the record. I'd just like to highlight that in Helsinki, we usually have in our face-to-face meetings, we usually try to organize a meeting with CCNSO. And the ALAC, the joint meeting. And for the next meeting, because everything's sort of like quite condensed, the CCNSO have invited us to attend two sessions that have become cross-community sessions. And one is with the GAC to discuss a survey that they did and a PDP issue, and the other one is also includes the GAC and the GNSO to talk about the DTLD procedures. So I thought it would be, I know that there are some conflicts with ALAC meetings, but, you know, we will, it would be, I think it would be helpful if we could, you know, get at least some members of the ALAC to those sessions. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. If you could remind us when we get to the Helsinki meeting scheduling to point out or ask Gisela to point out where those sessions are, and we'll see what we can do with that. Anything else on reports? We are making outstanding time. We're actually slightly ahead of time at this point. Sebastian, go ahead.
Yeah, and sorry, but I am late, but I just think that we have, first of all, you can hear me correctly?
Very well.
Okay, thank you. I have a question about what it's written on the new analysis, because I have the impression that a mail was sent just yesterday to inform OGC that they are a certified ALS, and in the same time we are requested to vote on the same organization. I have the impression that there is a mismatch between OCG and WZRI. I hope that staff can confirm that there are no mistakes, if not, to make the change. Thank you.
Heidi, are you in a position to question out, or do you want to take that as an AI?
No, it's an action item, please.
Thank you. Please, if it could be so noted. Anything else? That was going back to agenda item 4 on ALS applications. So one final call for anything on ALS applications or reports. Hearing nothing, we will go on to item number 7 on accountability next steps. Leon is not on the call. I can report that I did submit the comments that I had made with a further comment saying that it had consensus approval of the ALAC. There was only one person who identified one of the two parts that they did not agree with. And, of course, that's now gone into the mix master that will come out with the final bylaws. It's not clear yet to me whether we will see those bylaws in time to make any last comments prior to them going to the board for approval. Cheryl, do you know anything about that? Or there has been some discussion on the list with a number of people saying they believe we should see something, but I haven't actually seen a confirmation. Do you know anything about that process?
Cheryl, I'm going to off the record. As far as I am aware, we will be seeing a red line version, yes.
For some brief period of time. Good. That's
correct. Yes.
That is excellent. Thank you. I have nothing else to report on the accountability. Clearly, in my mind, most people are taking a breather right now and trying to catch up on the rest of their lives before the zoo starts again. But at this point, I'm sure the lawyers and other people involved in drafting are starting to ramp up rather furiously, given that the comment period closed on Saturday. But us mortals at this point are relaxing a little bit on it. Final comments. And a smiley face from Cheryl. I'm not sure if that means she's one of the mere mortals who's relaxing or not.
Relaxing? What is this you speak of?
All right. In that case, we're racing along, and we have an item on at-large working groups. My name is on it, but in fact, that's some work that Maureen has done, and I would like if Maureen can give us a brief idea of where we are and what she believes our next steps are. I didn't think we had enough time to discuss it in this meeting. If I had realized how fast things were going, I might have put it on as a more substantive item. But Maureen, do you have any quick comments?
Thank you, Alan. No, I wasn't prepared for this, but I think I did. There were about 10 groups, 10 working groups that we actually sort of like looked at. And, of course, I think there were 6 groups that we sort of like initially looked at and decided that they should become active, except that some of them are not currently active. They're on hold as such. So there is a decision that has to be made about, you know, whether we actually have, how do we identify these groups that aren't actually sort of like regularly meeting and are currently on hold. So, you know, that's a decision that we're still discussing, and but there are 4. I think there were 4. Two of the working groups are currently not operating, and 2 are probably actually sort of like becoming a little bit more obvious now. So they could become come out of their dormant stage. So there's still a lot of work to be looked at. Thank you.
Thank you. Another thing I noted is we have been talking in this small group, or perhaps in this group too, I think at once, about to what extent charters and missions and things like that are required. As you know, I've been going over the rules of procedure to update them for, among other things, the at-large director selection. And one of the things I noted is the rules of procedure do, in fact, call for all working teams, which is the generic term we use for work groups, subcommittees, whatever, must have terms of reference or a charter. Now, of course, many of our working groups predate the new term, the rules of procedure. So I suspect what we should be doing, among other things, is, as we go through the working groups, verify that indeed these groups, if they're going to continue to exist, must meet our definition of have some sort of statement. It doesn't have to be a 12-page charter, but at least a mission statement, a terms of reference, or a full-blown charter, depending on what's applicable, should be associated with each working group if we're going to maintain it in some level of active status. So that's something to I think we'll look at. And I think we should try to plan to, in Helsinki, review them one by one. So I'll be talking to Maureen and anyone else who's been involved in this process or wants to be involved in the process, and we'll try to have a recommendation on the table before we get to Helsinki so people can look it over and do their homework. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Angermore for the transcript record. Just regarding the terms of reference, whilst many of them do predate the formality of that type of thing, most of them that were created in the confluence wiki days, so anything that wasn't a social text construct in wiki, we have used for quite some time a system in the design for the wiki pages, which means that there is a, for most of them, if not all of them, an identifiable description or purpose. And could I recommend that we, rather than try and create this to be something bigger than Ben-Hur, which is a movie reference to an epic, that we try and focus on looking at the relevance of that when it exists and where it doesn't exist, making it relevant. So, you know, just to try and keep it relatively neat and tidy. It may be a less complicated task if we do it that way, Ken.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yes, we spend a lot of time on administration, and the issue about working groups was not meant to be a make-work activity and certainly not a huge diversion from other things, just a matter of housekeeping getting things in order. So yes, if indeed a work group has something which we can deem to be a terms of reference, mission, or charter, then we need to find it and make sure it's visible and findable. And if not, decide we either need one or the work group shouldn't be there. So I don't think this is a major activity. I hope it isn't. I think we need to make sure it doesn't become a major activity. There was a bit of discussion on the mail that was being exchanged that maybe we should take this opportunity to write a full-fledged, you know, manual for how work groups operate and things like that. And I personally thought that was somewhat excessive and not something that was a priority on our agenda right now. Any other issues on this item? We're on item number 8, at-large working groups. And we are making fantastic time.
Yay.
I suspect we may end early if we're lucky enough.
Yay!
Or we may manage to extend the meeting to run late. It's
no,
happened before.
Jinx. Don't say it. It'll be a jinx.
All right. The next item is item number 9, at-large review. And for once, we have made significant progress at this point. The reviewers have been selected. There was an inaugural meeting of the at-large working party yesterday, which I thought was quite productive. I also had a short one-on-one talk with the reviewers prior to that, and I came out of it with a very warm feeling that these people were not going to come in and make their standard recommendations that worked for their last three engagements. In fact, this team, I believe, has never actually been together as a single team, and they, among their own tasks, they consider themselves sort of each of them checking each other to make sure that we're not going to be given cookie cutter recommendations that worked somewhere else. They seem to understand well that we are rather unique in a whole bunch of ways, and I think with some trepidation they are jumping in and hope to be able to help. They have confirmed they're not here to completely redesign at large. I don't think any of us could sustain that. But but I think they understand that we have some problems, and we're looking to them for some guidance. And with that, I open the floor to Holly, to Cheryl, who are the co-chairs of the working party. And Cheryl had been in an ex officio role, and we have changed that to act as a co-chair because this is going to be a really heavy workload as we go forward in the next little while. And relying on a single person tends to be somewhat putting heavy pressure on that one person. So we're trying to spread the work around. And since Cheryl had already agreed to serve on that committee, we thought that was reasonable. I open the floor.
Well,
I'd like impressions from anyone on the working party, not only necessarily Holly and Cheryl, but impressions of the consultants. They seem to be pretty candid, and I guess I'd like to hear if anyone has any concerns or any positive things to say.
Yeah, Vanda?
Vanda, go ahead.
Yeah, I talk with Nick Thorne, that's one of those guys, because we used to work together now for 3 years, and we exchange a lot of information after they got the approval. It was, he is a very positive personality, and he understands a lot about ICANN, about everything related to the governance and the distribution around the world of the issues. And what we work together is exactly something similar to that. That is talking about and outreach people around the world. And so we are together every week. And I know he will add a lot of value to this group because of his experience in the field, you know, talking with not-for-profit organizations around the world and bring them to understand what is internet for them and blah, blah, blah. So I do believe that we are in good hands. That's just my first impression.
Thank you, Vanda. Anyone else care to contribute? Holly, Cheryl, Sebastian, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, Sebastian, then Holly.
Yeah, well, Sebastian, go ahead.
Yes, it will not be substantive. It will be very short. To be transparent, as you may know, or if not, you will find out one day that I used to be working for ITEMS International. My contract ended in March, not this year, but the year before, and I have not been involved in anything in the proposal made by them, and I have no relationship anymore at the level of the work. There are some of them are friends, but nothing else. And I wanted to be very transparent about that, just to be sure that there is no mismatch on what's happening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. Do you have any comments on the individuals as consultants?
Sebastian Macher speaking. I think, as you say, it's the team was put together specifically for this task. I know that they were putting other teams for other tasks with different people. What is interesting in this team is that they are spread around the world, maybe not everywhere, but at least different places, and they will come with different point of view, and that will be interesting. I am sure that they can do well, because part of them, at least Tom McKenzie, used to do a review for CCNSO and for ISO within ICANN, and the other know part of ICANN quite well, or part of the region quite well, then it will be interesting to see. I have the impression that it's good team, and they are not coming with an idea what to do, how to do it. They will really listen to us and take into account our input and what they will find out. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. That's nice to hear from someone who has at least peripherally been involved in some of them. Their CVs are interesting, and I suggest that people read them, and I'm presuming we'll find pointers to them sometime, if not readily available today. And they're not what you would always expect based on, the origins of the people and the, so to speak, the color of their skin and that kind of thing. They've lived in places and worked in places that you might not expect from without actually knowing them personally. So I think it's going to be an interesting group. Maureen, go ahead.
Sorry, Holly. I just wanted to say that I actually got a really good feel about the team. As Vanda and Sebastian said, their backgrounds are extensive, and their knowledge of ICANN is already there. So, we're not having to explain it. We won't be having to explain ourselves too greatly. And they really seem to be listening to what we were saying. Contribution. They really listen to what we were saying, and I think that it's very positive for us and at large. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. They have done two other reviews for ICANN before, very, very different reviews, the ASO and the CCNSO, and they understand that there's not a lot of relationship other than the word ICANN between the three of us, and that's good. I was a little worried when it was mentioned that they had done a number of other reviews, because there's a number of reviews that have been done in the past that I've been very critical of, and theirs were not among them, and that was a fair amount of relief on my part. Holly or Cheryl, do you want to add anything, or do you feel everything has been said at this point?
Holly has something to say, and I did have my hand up, but someone put it down.
Ah, I didn't know we had any of those phantom hand-downers.
Cheryl, I'll leave it to you.
Go ahead, Holly.
I'm just leaving it to Cheryl, except to say it was a very fruitful meeting, and we will be doing a lot of talking to them in Helsinki, probably in groups as well as individually. There are some action items on a few of us which will go ahead, but by and large we seem to be looking pretty much on schedule, and it's just going to be a full year. So,
yeah.
Cheryl, yours.
Thanks, Holly. Cheryl Langenor for the transcript record. You picked up on the point I simply wanted to make, that for anyone that is travelling to Helsinki, we will be very keen to make sure that you get a good 10 or 15 minutes at least with the team from ITEMS that will be there, because it will be our first opportunity to get some face-to-face interviews done. So, if you're travelling to Helsinki, do expect and please ensure that you do make yourself available for whatever time slot Gisela and the team can put together for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any further comments before we go on? Anything from staff? Seeing nothing, our next agenda item is to welcome Renalia here, and I believe she will be talking about the Amsterdam meetings that she participated in, but I will leave it completely up to her how to use her time. Renalia?
Thank you, Alan. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Great. So the board met in Amsterdam last week. I think I'm still a bit jet lagged from that. and it was a three-day meeting as usual. We typically meet six times a year, three times in conjunction with ICANN meetings and three times outside of that. And we normally have our meetings divided into workshops and formal meetings. In workshops, we go a lot deeper and go broader than what we normally do. And for this particular meeting, I was part of the team that actually developed the agenda and program, which is a first for the board, because before this, it was typically the board chair that developed such a program and agenda. But I think that the board wanted more intensity. It wanted to have a better blend and balance between strategy and operational items. So a small team was put together comprising Shireen Shalabi, George Sadowski, Ram Mohan, and myself. And we worked with Steve Crocker to essentially come up with the program. And I'm very happy to receive the feedback that the board felt it was the best workshop that they've ever had. In terms of the main issues that we focused on, naturally, we focus a lot on the transition. We typically receive reports and updates on what's happening to highlight on what's potentially problematic, what we need to look out for. We also focused a lot on the CEO, given that it was Joran's first engagement with the board formally. We wanted to understand what he has learned from observing and learning, and also what his priorities would be going forward into the future. We initiated a discussion with him about what his priorities could be, and he will come back with a proposal so that we can finalize that as part of his goals and targets, which the compensation committee will then monitor and evaluate. We also discussed the bylaws and also the principles of cross-community working groups in general, and I think you will see board participation and discussion about this in Helsinki. There was, I think, an excellent session on trust and transparency, and I think you would have seen the results of that, where we passed a motion and resolution that we wanted the CEO to come back with a plan on how to make the board meetings more open and more transparent so that the community has a better understanding of what we do and how we go about doing it. All board committees met, and we all had various issues to work on. And because of extensive discussions during the former board meetings, particularly focused on the moving of the location of ICANN 57, we could not address two topics. One was the volunteer pool discussion, and the other one was the evolving meeting structure of ICANN. Now, the volunteer pool topic is something that's very important to me. I'm the board shepherd for that. I think that it's a strategic consideration for ICANN, and we as a board need to pay particular attention to it, because the strengths and the challenges faced by the volunteer pool have an impact on ICANN itself, and we will revisit this in the Helsinki. So that's all I have, and if you have questions, I'd be happy to field it. And just one flag, there is one topic that we ask staff to update on, and that's the key signing key rollover. This is going to happen. It will result in breakage in the internet, and there is considerable worry about how people will react to that when they suddenly realize that something is wrong with the internet and it's not working. And it's possible that we at large may have a role in helping raise awareness about this, advising that there's no need to panic and something can be done and what can be done. And I think the suggestion was made to David Conrad to reach out to the at large and see what you can do to work together to address it, especially from the end user side. So that's it.
Thank you very much, Renalia. Two comments. In terms of the volunteer experience, can you tell us sort of what the plan is going forward on how do you plan to look at whatever you're looking at, and how do you think that's going to affect what we do?
Well, from my side of it, I think that volunteers are a strategic asset to ICANN, but ICANN doesn't have a full view of the volunteer pool. There is no clarity in terms of the size. There is no clarity in terms of who are the, what percentage of the people who are volunteering are at the mature level, who's intermediate, who's beginning. There is no proper tracking, etc. And I think the premise of it is to start putting together a baseline and tracking, and then identifying what needs to be done to support the volunteers as they move through the ICANN system. That's how I see it, and we will go into it more when we're in Helsinki. There's nothing fixed or definite yet. This is an introductory discussion with the board. I think that it's a topic that hasn't been paid much attention to, and I think that's a mistake, and it's going on the board agenda.
Okay, there is a staff initiative. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
It's the stakeholder journey.
The stakeholder journey, which I must admit I have not been very impressed by. Among other things, I don't think there has been a real understanding or attempt to understand the range of different types of volunteers we have. That ICANN mm-hmm. tends to treat somebody who is paid $500,000 a year by their corporation to attend and lobby on ICANN issues at the same way as they treat someone who is a true volunteer who's taking vacation time to go to these meetings. And I think not differentiating those and at least understanding that their motivations and their resources are so different puts us in a very awkward position. So I hope that your involvement will at least factor in that kind of thing as one of the components.
That is actually one of the things that I have noted down, and it's good feedback. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Was there any discussion at all in any of the board meetings or the board committee meetings that you're aware of on the at-large multi-year GA summit proposal?
Yes, it was raised in the board finance committee discussion, and it was highlighted as an example of a unique proposal. It presents an innovation in the sense that it is a multi-year proposal. All the other proposals are typically not. And it is perceived as the start of a possible series of multi-year proposals from the rest of the community. And so the stance is to use the at-large example as a pilot and to see how it goes. And if it is successful, then we might encourage the rest of the community to adopt that as well.
Thank you very much. I was a little worried when I heard the concept of it applies to other groups as well, that there'd be a desire to say, let's not do anything until the other groups also participate.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of it being a pilot and not being delayed until the other groups have time to cobble together their multi-year proposal just so everyone can play in the sandbox. So,
right. And we to wait until the end of the public comments process before the formal response can be done through the Board Finance Committee and see how they're going to process that.
Of course. I've been very positive that the informal feedback was very optimistic that the informal feedback was as positive as it was, even though clearly there are no decisions made at this point. Any other comments for Renalia?
No, except to say thank you.
My God, we're going to be early on everything at this point.
Yay!
That's okay. I'm going to try to slow this down as much as I can. That's a joke. That's a joke. Anyway, Renalia, thank you for joining us. The invitation to Renalia did not go out until very, very late, even though it was actually on our agenda. When I say very late, I mean about 12 hours ago. So I appreciate you being here, and I know you've been doing a lot of traveling right now, so you're probably close to exhausted, but if not past that. But so thank you for joining us, and I think that's been a useful set of interactions.
My pleasure.
Any last comments on this point before we go on to the next one?
Holly raised just to say thank you very much, Renalia.
And Renalia says, thank you. You're welcome.
Hey, thank you, Holly.
No, I wasn't prompting you. I was just moving on. I was just moving on the agenda.
It's nice to hear the voice anyway.
All right. Our next item 11, is ICANN at large at ICANN 56 in Helsinki. And I will turn it over to Gisela Gruber. I haven't heard Gisela, but I presume she's on the call.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, I'm here.
All right. So we need to, among other things, do a little bit of checking on what Maureen had mentioned. I will comment before you start that, as you know, as most many of you know, the intellectual property constituency did approach us about having a joint session. In history, it at large has worked closely with the intellectual property constituency in years gone past. We haven't done much together recently, and the chair of the constituency felt that maybe it was time to see if there were common areas, or if not, at least understand each other in areas where we do diverge. And there was a very positive response from a number of ALAC members, so we're trying to schedule that. We've come up with a couple of topics, and if we can find a common time to meet, which is not clear yet, we will be meeting in Helsinki. And with that, I'll go back to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Alan. We put the updated schedule on the Adobe Connect, and I will also send you the link to the main schedule, which is open to all, for you to see it if you prefer seeing it directly on your browsers. Bear with me for a second. There you've got the link that's come in. What I've done here is I've updated this schedule with everything that was sent through last week. And apologies for the delay, but I was actually on vacation last week, so I updated this last night with what we have, including what Maureen said. So as you'll see, this is split over a couple of pages. I'm going to give you sync rights that everyone can scroll through the schedule as we go through it. Sean has just told me that he has lost audio, so we will dial back out to him. Thank you. There hasn't been much change on the ALAC sessions, except for the Monday afternoon. There has been a change with the second cross-community working session, and which both of those afternoon sessions we will have as non-conflicting. So as you can see, no other ALAC session has been put in parallel with the CCWG and IANA accountability session, nor with the PDP on next generation GTLD registration, etc. We are still trying to schedule on Monday a one-hour meeting with the GAC. As it stands now, we're looking at a meeting during the lunch break, but this will be confirmed either later today or hopefully tomorrow. On the Tuesday, again, the two afternoon sessions are currently non-conflicting, but we have an email that Maureen sent through, and if you can see it, it's in green. So this will be parallel to the PDP new GTLD subsequent procedures. Maureen, if you would like to give more details on the session that is running that afternoon, and as per your recent email, perhaps we can have part of the ALAC members attending the CCNSO, GAC, and ALAC meeting. Maureen, would you like to comment on that?
Thank you, Gisela, for that opportunity. I'm just looking for the information. Can you move on? I'll find it.
Oh, sorry. Gisela here again. Sorry to put you on the spot there, Maureen. Absolutely. On the Tuesday evening, according to the new schedule, what they will be doing in Helsinki is having cocktails on the Tuesday and Wednesday evening, because there have been several requests from several of the groups. So there will be Monday evening the reception at the City of Helsinki City Hall, which is by the City of Helsinki, so not by ICANN. Tuesday and Wednesday there will be cocktails, and the format is that it's going to be in a foyer area, so we can still have some groups meeting, even though it is called the President's Reception. We will no doubt have this in conjunction with the Urala and Civil Society Network event, as we can have a corner section with maybe even a signpost to say that is the Urala and Civil Society networking event. On the Tuesday evening, there's also, we are working on finalizing a meeting for the iSoccers that we're working in conjunction with Urie, and then possibly a GEMS jamming session like there was in Marrakesh.
Oh,
details still to come. We're just working on the logistics. On Wednesday, and this will then blend in with Maureen coming in again, the afternoon sessions, none are conflicting, except again for the session that Maureen has come up with, which is the CCNSO, GAC, GNSO, ALAC forum, which will be against the PDP review of all rights protection mechanisms, etc. Again, I'll let Maureen speak about that, but in the email that she sent us, she'd again like to have some of the ALAC members attend the forum, and the others could go to the main cross-community session. On the Wednesday evening, we've got the chairman's reception, which again is a cocktail, again allowing for a lot of networking opportunities. No news at this stage yet about the DNS women's event.
We're going to have. Gisela?
Yes, Vanda.
Yeah,
yes,
it's
Vanda.
On. It's organized, and we'll be in the bar next the venue. I can send more details later.
Vanda Gisela here. Thank you very much for the information. If you send me the details, I'll then update the schedule and make sure that everyone's aware of it. All the ladies, of course. Thank you very much, Vanda.
Thank you.
Then again on the Thursday, the afternoon sessions, if you read them, there will be non-conflicting as well. What is outstanding now, as Alan said, is the meeting with the IPC. We have and please, any of the ALAC working sessions and working groups as of today are not set in stone, because we're trying to schedule the GAC meeting, the meeting with the IPC, we'll need to juggle a few sessions around over the next 48 hours. But over the next 48 hours, we should pretty much have a working schedule, because we have to submit the meeting forms with the meetings team. So Maureen, would you like to just speak more about the two afternoon sessions?
Thank you, Gisela. Yes, sorry for not being organized here. The first session, which is actually one that currently conflicts with the another meeting that's been planned for the ALAC on the new GTLD subsequent procedures, which is unfortunate. But it is the time that the CCNSO and the GAC were to be meeting anyway. That's sort of like not something that I think that they could change. But it was to hear the results of a survey that the GAC undertook for their CCTLD. And I thought that that might be of interest to us, because we have actually been looking in the past of getting our ALSs more engaged with their CCTLD. And I thought it might be of interest to some ALAC members who are involved with CCTLDs to sort of like hear the results of the GAC survey. And the second part of that meeting was to discuss the PDP on the review mechanism for decisions on delegation, revocation and retirement of CCTLDs. And again, that's of interest, I know, to some ALAC members. The second meeting was a meeting that conflicts with another ALAC meeting, but this one involves both the GAC and the GNSO, and looking at the issues relating to country and territory names. Cheryl is already a member of that group, and will no doubt participate. But it is something that we made a comment on as one of our statements, and many ALAC members participated in that commentary. So, again, it was another meeting opportunity for ALAC to be involved in. So I guess it's a call that we will make individually, but I think it's important that the ALAC is notified and if they're available to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. If I may interject, the CCNSO GAC meeting sounds like there's been some miscommunication. That was listed on previous agendas in the first session of the afternoon against the auction funds drafting team, and that makes a lot of sense because the GAC has requested that we meet with them prior to the GTLD session because that's the session they wanted to consult with us on. So it sounds rather unusual if the GAC has decided to meet with the CCNSO in parallel with the session that they wanted to talk to us about because they wanted us to have perhaps a united front going into that session. So I'm just wondering, does that green box in the wrong place? In the previous schedules, it was in the 15:15 to 16:45 session. Gisela, do you have anything, or do you actually have hard information saying it's in that session?
Alan Gisela here. Just bear with me for a second. The green boxes have been placed according to Maureen's information, if you just bear with me for a second.
Oh, okay. Certainly on the link you gave us, it was on the earlier session, not this one.
And I was just taking my information from what I got from Alejandro.
Alan?
Yes, go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdonell for the transcript record. In a meeting earlier today of the Use of Country and Territory Names working group, which is why I put my hand up, I'll come back to that later, we were looking at from the CCNSO the time slots and where that green box is on Tuesday is indeed my memory from this morning, so there may very well have been a change for what confusion and reason I'm not sure, but that certainly that time slot does mesh with my memory of looking at the schedule we were presented with by the CCNSO this morning with the joint meeting between GNSO and CCNSO.
Well, it remains to be seen how this plays out then, because if that's an important thing for the GAC, you know, other than a few people, I'm not quite sure how they're going to resolve that with the GTLD session. But I guess, Gisela, if you could reach out to the GAC staff and verify independently that they think that that's where it is also.
Alan Gisela here. I will reach out to GAC staff for the Tuesday afternoon session. But that is the information I've got, even though it does say TBC, which was the information that was sent through. So the TBC may well be that it might change. So
okay.
I'll follow up on that.
Just in general, I'll reinforce what Gisela said about the ALAC sessions. At this point, we are trying to accommodate the joint sessions, and we have told both the GAC and the IPC that we will be flexible. We will move whatever we need to try to get those sessions and then reassign other sessions. So we may well find, for instance, that one of the afternoon community sessions, which the ALAC has said is not of great interest, we did do a poll of that a little while ago, may well get allocated as a working session, for instance, to make sure that we do have sufficient time to address all the issues we want to address in Helsinki. Cheryl, your hand is still up. Is that a new one or an old one?
It is a continuing one. Thank you, Alan.
Then the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, good sir. Cheryl Langdonell for the transcript record. Just going back to why I put my hand up, rather than confirming what I knew from this morning's scheduling event, I just wanted to point out, and it could very well be that the Tuesday afternoon session between GAC and the CCNSO as a public forum may only engage part of the Government Advisory Committee
being a reminder of the survey work that they've done. But it would be good, as Maureen said, if we could have some people in the room, particularly when we think of the work done ages ago now, when Rudy worked with Ron in the roles of exchange liaisons, and we mapped the at-large structures, government advisory committee, country representatives, state and territory representatives or organisational representatives, because they were just starting to have those in those dim, dark, distant days, and CCNSO members at that time, and that data still exists. So we might find that's an easy refresh. I know Maureen is familiar with that, but it would be good to have a few people in that room. Unfortunately, I won't be amongst them because of the competing time slot with the other PDP working group. But I also wanted to make an appeal for us to, if at all possible, encourage our people to be in the room for the Wednesday afternoon session on the use of country and territory names. It's a pivotal point in the work of that working group, Alan. What we've done to date is build and work with the community in calling out for survey and public comment on the use of two and three character names. But right now we have this 90-minute session as an opportunity to try and interact with the community in a more dynamic way, to put us in the right direction for the next steps, which will include some of the more generic uses and not just strictly related to ISO lists, etc. So, I'm just suggesting that it is one that if we can get people in the room for, it would be very useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. When is that meeting?
That is the Wednesday afternoon session with the CCNSO, which I believe is the pre-afternoon tea session, so the one that wraps up at 4:45.
That's the one we have marked as the ALAC wrap-up session.
Unfortunately, yes.
Rather unfortunate, because you're right, that is a session that we have had people somewhat intrigued if not directly commenting on. So, Gisela, if we can flag that, and I doubt if we can change it, but let's at least be conscious of it. Any further comments on the agenda? Do we have any updates on outreach and engagement activities, be them as they are in the meeting? I believe last time I was involved in a discussion, we were limiting our outreach and engagement activities to NextGen and Fellows. Is that where we still stand? Heidi, are you with us?
Sorry, I thought Gisela was going to take that. Yeah,
oh,
so
sorry.
You can think of them as three. And the first one will be a session with the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement just with the NextGen. That is going to be Monday morning. That's going to be sort of a 35,000-foot level introduction to ICANN at large. That will be followed after the break by an ALAC session with the fellows, sort of a deeper dive into at large. And I think the format is being developed for that. Then Tuesday evening, there's going to be URALO/Civil Society networking event in the evening. As Gisela mentioned, and that's sort of an outreach both to civil society, groups that identify as civil society, as well as the fellows and next geners will be invited to that session as well.
Okay, thank
so
you. The concern I've raised before, and I trust it is being considered as the detailed planning be done, that in the session with the fellows, that we make sure that the meeting is structured so that this will be a productive use of all 25, 27 travelers that we do have in Helsinki. And if that's not the case, then we should clearly identify it and try to make sure that we have other there are other things that are worthy of focus on. But we should know going into it whether this is the whole ALAC or a partial ALAC. Any other comments on agendas? We are a little bit ahead of time at this point, which is good. Next item is revised expected standards of behavior, and if we can yes, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Heidi. Just two more items under that larger agenda item. The first one is just identification of policy issues. If ALAC is in the position to start considering what the policy issues of you know, the hot topics, et cetera, that you will be discussing there, that is important as we start preparing for our briefings. And the second point is just very quickly on the process of inviting board members. I can take that one in if you'd like.
You mean you can take it, meaning you want to discuss
it
now?
I can just mention what that is going to be.
You can please discuss that, and I will also add something to it. But go ahead, start.
So, again, the process for identification and inviting board members to the ACSO groups will be done through support staff working with the board support staff. And just to let you know, that's how we're going to be asking all ACSOs to move forward on inviting board members to various meetings. So, again, at meeting B, there will be no formal board meeting with each ACSO. It'll be where ACs can invite particular board members to participate in their sessions. Thank you.
Okay. On both of those items, number one, in terms of the hot what you called hot topics, the policy issues we want on our agenda, I am welcoming... The decision on what to talk about does not have to be solely mine or the ALTs or staff. If anyone wants to make sure that coming out of Helsinki, we have had a significant amount of time to talk about any given subject, please raise that. There's no guarantee we can do everything, but if you don't raise it, there's a good chance it will not be discussed. So that's a responsibility on all ALAC members and, for that matter, all RALO leaders. Please make sure that if you have something you want to see discussed, it is on the agenda, and, or at least we try to fit it into the agenda. In terms of board participation, I do recall that I have heard a number of board members say they think this is a really silly idea, having board members sit in on our other discussions. And I specifically recall our board member suggesting that if we want a meeting with the board, we should simply ask for it. So, the official plan notwithstanding, we need to speak up and say what we want. Heidi, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Heidi. Yes, the process has just recently been discussed among staff, and that process is going to be the way, I believe, going forward.
Okay, thank you. Certainly, until we come up with the specific topics, I don't know how we could invite board members, and I'm not sure which board members are the right ones and would want to be there for those topics in any case. So it's an interesting idea, but not one that I would have come up with. But I do welcome input from other people. Please contribute to this. Your input will contribute to how successful this meeting is. And Renalia has said some of them may show up based on their own interest, and that's fine. I'm delighted to have board members wander in and then tell us the meeting was great or the meeting was boring, or actually contribute to the meeting. Of course, we're expecting Renalia to be there 24 hours a day for our meetings.
Yeah, right.
which Renalia has already told me don't expect. She may want to find out what other people are actually doing, the interesting stuff. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit slap happy at this point. Any other comments on the meeting before we go on to the next item? Before I try for the second time to go on to the next item. Seeing nothing, hearing nothing. We are on the next item, the revised expected standards of behavior. Now, as we're getting this up, let me recount the story. As you all know, there was an incident which caused a lot of discussion at the last ICANN meeting, and there was a staff-led initiative to consult with the community and decide how we address the changing our standards of behavior. There were a number of suggestions, several of which included forming cross-community groups. Now, not formal CCWGs in the sense of accountability or IANA, but cross-community groups to come up and invent something. A survey was done, and I'm delighted that the ALAC comments were almost all universally, with one exception, that we should simply do something lightweight. This is not rocket science. There's plenty of examples in the world. We do not need to constitute a cross-community working group to deliberate for 6 months with expert legal help and expert, funded help from outside. That staff should simply work with with whatever experts they could find, come up with something, and put it out for public comment. And to my somewhat great surprise, that is exactly what they did. The comments that I received from various people were interesting in terms of the concept of forming a cross-community working group to deliberate on this. And the examples were, this sounds like a question of how many ICANNers does it take to screw in a light bulb, and someone suggesting that perhaps we could simply put something and post it on the wall. It worked for her her child's undergraduate or elementary school class. Why wouldn't it work for us? But in fact, that is exactly what they're doing, and something has been worded this out for a public comment. I'm pretty sure we will say we support this. There are other aspects which are not included in the standards of behavior, which I believe ICANN does need to do. We do need to put in place processes for what people do if they feel that they have been harassed and how we handle those. Perhaps what action we can take against someone if indeed they're deemed to have treated someone else improperly. And the last thing is a consciousness-raising effort to make sure that people understand what we're talking about. I don't think some of these things are well understood, certainly with people from certain backgrounds. And it's a moderately complex issue. And I think we have to acknowledge the fact that part of it is not necessarily people acting improperly knowingly, but not understanding what is proper and what isn't. So, any comments on this? Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langenor for the Transcript Record. I'm not surprisingly, I suppose, to anyone who knows me well or was around at the last meeting, am very keen to have us support the changes that have been proposed in the draft text that's out for public comment. For anyone who doesn't follow every page of every wiki activity that's ever done by anybody, I just wanted to note for the record that I put onto the wiki page regarding this particular public comment today what I think are words of wisdom, and Alan, I'll note you followed up with that. Thank you very much. That I think we could encourage others to use that modality to make some comments as well. But I also wanted to mention that at the recent Asia-Pacific Regional, a large organisation, the AP RALO call, we did raise and in principle support the fact that as one of the regions with probably, we would argue, the greatest diversity in terms of culture and expected norms of behaviour, we would be very keen to see some additional material actions, activities, enablers, facilitators, whatever we want to talk about it, be developed with the community in the coming months and perhaps even years, and make sure that this is not just a simple tick and flick. We've put a few words into our expected standards of behaviour and leave it at that. We think it's a matter that needs the, not massive, but consistent work and review, because it is very much one of huge differences in expectations and norms, which will vary over culture and the diversity that we have. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any other comments? I'll share something. One of the things that struck me in having discussions with a number of people is there are a number of people in our community, women, who, when I meet them for the first time at an ICANN meeting, we hug. And that is not deemed to be harassment, as far as I can tell, by those particular people. Yet, it, clearly, if I went up to a random person I'd never met before and did it, that would be less than appropriate. So it's not intuitively obvious. It's hard to put words down to describe this kind of thing. So I really think we do need some level of education, or at least awareness of what we are talking about, that can be perceived as being harassment, depending on the circumstances and details. Cheryl, is that a new hand?
It is, Alan. Just on that matter alone, Cheryl Langdon, off the record. It also depends where we're meeting. There will be places within certainly our Asia Pacific region, and quite specifically many of them in the western edges of our geo region, where public display of affection is simply culturally inappropriate in that city, state or territory that we're meeting in. So again, you know, we have to watch a lot and modify a lot depending on where we are and what we're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that, Alan, I won't, you know, welcome a shaking of the hand and a nice hug and a peck on the cheek in the confines of the ICANN meeting, but we do need to be aware that there are some places where that would be actually highly doubtful, even legal thing to do in public. So, you know, it's an awareness issue, and it's a sensibility issue. It's certainly not a, you know, one that we should take lightly, but it's also certainly one that we need to work on sensibly.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for adding another level of confusion and complexity to this situation. but indeed, you're right. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Sean. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. Thank you for the comments. I just want to bring the attention to a section of the edit, which is referring to unwelcome, that is harassment that is considered unwelcome. So that particular part is what I think whoever is actually making the decision that it is indeed an harassment or not, will have specific, more detailed process by which it will be, things will be termed unwelcome. Because, for instance, just like it been said, someone who I'm already used to, who I probably hug every time, if the person... It also comes to the fact that who blows the whistle of harassment? Is it the person that you are relating with or someone who says it? So I think those details need to also be clear. If I'm relating with somebody, a third party does not make a call for harassment if the person who I'm relating with did not make such call. So I think those details need to be, it doesn't need to be written here, but generally, there needs to be clear guidelines that make sure that a guy, for instance, because it's always been women, a guy also does not become the victim here, especially if what he has done is not with bad intent. So I think it needs to be on both sides. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. I think you're identifying some of the difficulty in this. Unwelcome is very much a judgment call, and there are certainly situations where someone who is the object of the suggested harassment might not feel comfortable in making a complaint, but somebody else might. And similarly, the fact that someone is harassed does not mean that the person doing it thought that they were harassing someone. There's a significant problem, as I was mentioning, of people understanding what is deemed appropriate or not. This is a complex issue, and simple words in a policy don't address it completely. Jimmy, go ahead.
So, hi, Jimmy Schultz for the record. I have two items. First, I would please do the wording sexual orientation, not mixed up with sexual identity, which is mentioned in the respect part, and in the treat part, it's only sexual orientation. If you read the Wikipedia article on that, we should use sexual identity, I think, which is the correct wording here. That's point one. Point two is adding to what all the others already said about those really quite conflict potential, because if somebody doesn't even know that his behavior is harassing, well, we have to learn that and then maybe go on. But there is a substantial possibility of conflict of interest in between freedom of speech and, well, maybe not cultural but political behavior, if you act, for example, well, because freedom of speech, of course, in some parts of the world is very, very important and not very well accepted in other parts. And there we should have a fundamental decision on how we how we see that. Because I don't want just not to harass someone, cut my right of freedom of my word.
Thank you, Jimmy. May I ask that you and anyone who has any substantive thoughts on this to actually put them on the wiki, so that when we come to the point of drafting something, we have all of the input there. And with that, if there's no one else who has any further comments, I see no hands, I've heard no other voices, we will go on to the next item. And the next item is, just for the record, we are currently a little bit behind time at this point. And the next item is the fiscal year requests. Heidi, would you like to take that? And
yes.
If we can reduce it from the 15 minutes, that would be good. But if
I'm
not,
gonna
we'll,
reduce
we'll
it
adopt it.
Considerably. So just to let everyone know, the results of the fiscal year 17 special requests have been announced. They are on the wiki page. Yeshim, could you please put that into the chat? I'm just going to very briefly go over some of the highlights of what was approved and some of the details. So for the first point of the strategy session for the ALAC was approved, but the facilitator will need to be a staff, an internal person. So that might be either, as we start implementing that, that might be staff, or it might be some of the more experienced people within the ALAC who would wish to carry that forward. Okay. Then these development sessions for the ALAC and the RELOS were both approved. They will be taking place on the Friday of meeting C. And again, there will be, I believe, food for that, as well as for the strategy session, as well as staff internal facilitators for both of those development sessions. In terms of general assemblies, there were three requests from one AFRALO, one LACRALO, and one from NARALO. The result was that two were approved. So that gives a little bit of work to the ALAC working with the regions on selecting which two will be approved for that. The I'm just going through some of the larger ones. The captioning project was approved, but not in its full the full format that it was requested. Basically, the current program will be extended for another 6 calls. So there was a request for captioning into Spanish and French, but that was not approved. The request for the I'm skipping around a little bit. The request for the Naralo ambassador, tribal ambassadorship, that was approved. So that was approved in the form of 2 travelers, 2 ambassadors to travel to ICANN 57, which again is taking place in Hyderabad, India, in November. And that format will be under the sort of the guise of the mentorship program. So similar, some mentorship activities prior to that meeting, and then mentorship during ICANN 57. I think that was those were the real highlights. If the full request and full details have been posted into the chat, so we can go through that if you would like. Alan, I think those are really the main ones that stick out to me. There was a request for the RALOs to have some discretionary funding. That was not approved, but what was approved was that they would be working with the GSE teams in their region, and there was some funding allocated to that for those types of activities.
Thank you, Heidi. 2 points. I'm delighted that they accepted the Loris's program and linked it essentially into mentorship. That is, we're not just sending people to meetings, we're sending them there and want to work to make sure that it is an effective interaction. So that's really positive, and I like the idea that the GSE, in response to the almost continual barrage of things that we're doing, to say, well, this seems to be something GSE could fund. They've actually asked for some money to help us fund things, so they actually have a pot of money, and they don't have to scramble each time. Now, of course, figuring out exactly how to use that money and whose applications to respond to could be the equivalent of another crop program. I'm hoping we don't have to build it up into a significant infrastructure required to do it, but it's something that will require a bit of talking within the ATLAC. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I want to express my happiness to see that some of our requests are now accepted under the GSE department. That means that the money is put there. It is now part of the core budget of ICANN, and we don't have to, in the future, I think, make special requests for them. This is what I want us to send to, because each time we have to make requests and we have to see, there is a competition, a very huge competition. There is only 6, as you know. There is an envelope for that, and all people have to be inside this envelope. So when some parts of our requests are now put in the core budget, it is a very good thing, and we have to lobby to make it a spending activities and not special event. Second point, there are 2 workshops in IGF approved, the EPIRALU and AFRALU one. So this is also something which is very good, and I hope that our workshops will be accepted by the MAG at the IGF. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. one of the real positive things about the GSE asking for funds on our behalf or to be used for our behalf is not only does it make funds actually available that can be dispersed, but it changes the timelines completely. We don't have to do things on a fiscal year basis. It can be done on an ad hoc basis a lot quicker. And this money is largely to help fund local events and things like that. I think those are the words that were associated with it. Heidi, is that correct?
Yes, Alan.
Yeah, so it's not more crop travel funds, but it's to, you know, you're holding a meeting. Can we do something? Can we help organize something? And it can be done on much shorter notice than the regular budget request. So I think that's really positive. Any other comments on budget items?
Alan, this is Heidi.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, just as I'm typing in the chat, please, I didn't take the time to go through all of those that were approved from the RALO request, and please do take the time to go through that full list. And even where it says no for some of the RALO requests, you'll see that in parentheses there's some funding allocated to that, and that is through the GSE. And that's just the greater collaboration with at-large and GSE. So many of those that say no, they can still move ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Heidi. Last year, certainly, there were a number where, in my opinion, the answers were wrong. That is, they gave an answer which either didn't make any sense or showed they didn't understand the project properly. So I do suggest that everyone go through the list, especially look at the ones that your RALOs, or if they're ALAC ones, the ALAC requested, and make sure you're happy with the answer. There is no formal appeal process, but there's certainly informal processes we can go through if you feel that the answer was not necessarily you just didn't like it, but there was an implication that it was not well understood. So please do your homework and make sure that we don't have any things in the background saying we weren't dealt with fairly but didn't do anything about it. We do need to respond if indeed there are things like that. I haven't had time to look at them in detail, so there may not be any, but please. Any further last items on budget? All right, the next item is potentially a two-part item, and it is the discussion on the selection by the ALAC of the NOMCOM delegates who were recommended by the regions. If you recall, the process is regions may give us one or sometimes more candidates with which to accept. The ALAC then has to either ratify those or replace them with somebody else. We have on occasion done that. If for some reason the candidate was believed by the ALAC to not be suitable, they have been replaced, and at times RALOs have not been in a position to make a single recommendation, but they have made multiple ones, and we have picked among them. So we have full discretion to do that, with full understanding that if we reject a RALO candidate, there may well be a reaction to that. But nevertheless, the item was put on the agenda partly at the request of Sebastian, and I would like to call upon Sebastian to raise the issues he wanted to. This is an open public discussion at this point. It is not a discussion of individuals. We will go in camera with just the ALAC and ICANN body liaisons, if necessary, to discuss individuals, but those will not be held. Those discussions will not be held in a public forum. So I open the floor to Sebastian or anyone else who wants to raise any issues about this. Is Sebastian still on the call with us? Yes.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Go right ahead. Sebastian.
Speaking. Thank you. I wanted to discuss with Alak. I have, and as Alan say, I will not talk about people, but more general point of view. The process where we have a proposal by each region, and of course, as it is by each region, it's balanced regionally. But if you look to the candidates, the other point of diversity, and specifically the gender balance, is not here. And I was wondering if we don't need to look at that and discuss this issue as ALAC. We can understand that each region, they have the choice for just one person, then they pick the one they think it's a good one. But as a general point of view, we as ALAC need to have some choice. And I am not here discussing the process, even if I think we need to change it maybe in the future, to ask each region to propose to ALAC both one male and one female, and maybe with some differences at the sub-regional level and so on and so forth, but to give us as ALAC more choice. But here we are faced with a group. If we send those people, there will be four male and one female, and that's not a good balance from my point of view. I don't know how we can solve that, but I wanted to raise this issue before you, before we make any decision. And if we have to make changes, yes, we will discuss that in camera. But for the moment, it's a global point of view. Hope it's clear, and if not, I am available to answer any question. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. Cheryl.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. And here I'm reverting to the dim, dark, distant days when I chaired the nominating committee. Whilst I think everyone would also recognise I have a particularly vested interest in gender equity, I am not in any way as concerned as Sebastian is in the fact of this particular appointment. Let me explain to you why. The five regional seats that are voting seats on the nominating committee are five out of a total of 27 seats around the table. We could send five women and still have no gender equity in the nominating committee as a result of our actions. So I appreciate and would certainly endorse and encourage efforts to try and have gender equity as well as diversity and other matters in all the appointments we consider. But it really has got to be one of those, the best for the job. Now, that said, in recent times, the nominating committee has found itself getting better in its own gender equity. But more importantly, it is a mandate of the nominating committee, regardless of what chromosomes they happen to carry, that they look specifically at gender as a diversity factor with the appointments they make. And I'll point out that it's not necessarily a follow that if you have a gender-balanced group, you result in gender-balanced appointments. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I've put my hand up, but I'm going to go to the end of the queue and let other people speak first. Alberto next.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. Sorry, I was muted. Thank you very much. Well, I believe this gender issue is going to be quite difficult because, for example, in Lagrallo, during the last 4 years, we have a female representation. And after that, we have to take into account gender representation in combination with other railos as well. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. Sebastian?
Yes, thank you. I had the comments made by Cheryl, but I think if each group don't do their homework, then at the end, yes, the global nominating committee will less balance, and it's why I think we need to do our home job. And that's part of what I think we need to do specifically regarding gender, as Cheryl say, equity. Maybe it's a better word than balance. I don't know. But I think we need to think about that. The question is because at the end, We take the same type of example in other bodies, and as it's done, we may end up with one single region represented in some groups, all men or all women, and all that needs to be changed in ICANN in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. This issue of gender balance is very, very dear for me. I am one of those who love a lot for having a gender balance. But in this case, in this particular case, I don't think it is relevant to impose anything. Because, first of all, those people, we need people who, those people will select members of the board and leaders, let's say, leaders of ICANN. And what is needed is to have people who, first, know better people, second, have more maturity, third, are more balanced, they are not, if you want, they are not extremists, etc. So when you know at AFRALO level, the selection, which is very, very important for us, is this delegate to the NOMCOM. We always try to be very careful to select the right one, because the impact of this person is very important on the whole ICANN. So I don't think that, for example, we had Fatimata for 2 years, and I am too happy for that. Now we have a man. It is, I think that the balance at the level of the NOMCOM is not, if you want, the imbalance of the board, for example, the imbalance of gender in the board is not the result of an imbalance NOMCOM. I think that the NOMCOM should be, there are, if you want, requirements for the NOMCOM, and we need to meet them. So you may not find a man for it in a group, and you may not find a woman in a group, for this year, I mean, for the moment, if you want. So I think that we have to be more careful about it. For the NOMCOM, it is more important to have the right person than to have a man or a woman. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I'll point out that we have the luxury of having 5 people from the ALAC. Not every group has that luxury, and in fact, most of them only have 1. So clearly, other groups are not in the position to gender balance or anything else balance the people they name to the group. And I see Sebastian has his hand up. So Sebastian, please go ahead first, and I'll try to summarize at the end.
Thank you very much. I see that I am the only one with this position, but I really think that we need to show the good direction for at large. And please, I am sure that in each region we are able to find the right candidates for, we are able to find a right candidates men and a right candidates women. I am sure that we can do that. Then at the level of ALAC, we can balance the people we ask to be at the NOMCOM. You can't tell us that if we have just men, they will do the best choice for ICANN. No, it's not possible. We need really to take that into account. But I see that not agree with that. I understand, but I please we need to find a way to go in that direction, and we need to show to the ICANN that we can do good decision on balance. And once again, please don't tell me that we can find the right people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, back in my comments. If we could have staff try to find where that noise is coming from. And it seems to be gone now. At this point, clearly there's not a lot we can do for this meeting. At least I don't believe so. We did not provide any instructions to the RALO on diversity. We did not provide any options, and I'm going to suggest some that we could in the future should we wish to. So I would think that there's not a lot of call for doing anything at this point. I tend to be more worried, and this is sort of implied by Cheryl, as to the attitudes of the people and not necessarily the attributes of the person themselves. In one particular case, I know of a NOMCOM appointee from the ALAC who has been, I won't say accused, but had in the carrying out of their duties, had made sexist comments. Those kind of statements, those kind of actions, I find are far worse than being of the wrong gender, because that reflects directly on how one may go through the process of selecting people for the various bodies. And I think we may want to think about how we set criteria for NOMCOM appointees, which is different than what we do right now. To be candid, we very often pick someone who used to be in some position of authority within a RALO or on the ALAC and now doesn't have travel funding anymore, and this is a way of keeping someone involved. That's probably a better way than our earlier technique of getting someone involved for the first time in ICANN by putting them on the NOMCOM when they knew nothing about the overall environment at all, and we then asked them to make decisions on behalf of ICANN. So perhaps we've gotten better. I think we need to think about it. And I see some hands up, but let me finish, and then we'll go on to the other people in the queue. I would suggest we want to discuss, not now, but well before the next process, whether we want to continue the current process we have or do something different. The words in the bylaw say the ALAC selects the people after consultation with the RALO. It does not say the RALO makes a recommendation and we simply rubber stamp it or reject it. We could do other things. We could ask each RALO for three names and to just explain what the various characteristics are, and then the ALAC will try to find the best set among them that will equalize the various characteristics we're looking at in NOMCOM appointees. I will point out that if we do that, that's a lot of work we're going to have to do because the ALAC or a trusted subcommittee of the ALAC will have to do a lot of homework on these people to make the recommendations to the ALAC as to what to do. So if we do that, we're taking on a whole pile of work, and we have to be prepared to carry it out diligently if we do that. But it's something we could consider should we want to go forward, but I don't think it's applicable to this year. And I see Shun has his hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Shun for the record. You touched on my point, especially on the fact that we agree that there's nothing we can do on this particular round. However, on the next round as well, even though we're going to still try to discuss it, I really doubt there's anything we can still do about it, especially if we're looking to get we're looking to allow the community, that is the region, to actually do the bulk of the work and not ALAC doing the bulk of the work. I think there is a plus in allowing the region to do it because it should be a consensus view of the region, most likely. We can always encourage them to be mindful of gender balance. It is until they nominate and then there is an election or there is a recommendation, and until we check from each of the five regions, that's when we'll actually see whether there is gender balance or not. you can't say why the selection process is still going on at ALAC. You can't say why people are still doing nomination in their region. It's until the five comes together, that's what we see. So we can encourage the each region to try to be mindful of balance. However, the balance that we will be so keen about is not just gender, but other balances like languages, culture. Those are more critical than gender for me, especially in my region. Trying to have some balances may be more important. Overall, this shouldn't be above competence. The balance also should be ALAC will also be considering balance at the level, at ALAC level. The balance ALAC will be considering would be balance of newbies. Okay, within the five regions, should we encourage three from the region who are already vast on this, or two from other regions who are still going to be part of it and they will learn from the process? These are some of the balance that we as ALAC could do. But the other balancing and all those choice making, I think we should leave it to the region. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. A couple of comments, because I do feel strongly about this. I personally will object. I don't have any veto rights, but I would personally object very strongly if we reverted back to what we did for a while, that is, use NomCom as a way of introducing people into ICANN. The rest of ICANN puts their most experienced people on nominating committee who are in a position to judge what ICANN needs. I think we need to do the same thing too, and I would strongly object to an attempt to go back to using it as a learning experience for ICANN. That's number one. Number two, this is an ALAC responsibility to name with consultation. We have in the last several years given the RALOs a fair amount of discretion in naming a single person. I think this is a discussion that we may choose to have, and I'll allow Sebastian later in the year to suggest that it be raised for a subset of discussion at an ALAC meeting, not at Helsinki, but perhaps at the next one, and to identify whether we want to take on the responsibility more seriously of doing the selection ourselves and ask the RALO for more general input as opposed to naming a second person. But we can't come to closure at this particular time. But it is something of great merit. I have taken an initiative over the last number of months to try to get the delegates to the NomCom to be more actively involved in ALAC events. They can't share with us the candidates they're evaluating, because there are confidentiality issues. But I really believe that we should not name a nominating committee delegate who then disappears for a year, other than sending out the monthly reports which are handed to them to send out. So I really would like to see more interaction. I want opportunities for the ALAC to provide input to these people for what we are looking for in directors or in ALAC members, for that matter. So you're going to see these people more in the future than we have in the past, and I recommend interacting with them. At this point, I have no... I don't know if anyone wants to go into closed session. I will tell you I did have one comment from... One set of input about one of the candidates who was deemed by the people who talked to me to not be someone we wanted to endorse. I have done some background checking, and I feel that I don't feel comfortable in raising the issue at this point. So I have no reason to go into in-camera, but if any ALAC member believes we should have an in-camera discussion on the actual candidates that we will be endorsing, then please identify that now, and we will go into an in-camera session. Jimmy says not needed. Sebastian agrees. We are just over time, and I'm told we have 10 to 15 minutes if necessary. At this point, nobody has given an indication that we want an in-camera session, so there will not be an in-camera session on this, and we will start a vote to ratify the five candidates that are named, that have been recommended by the regions in the very near future. Last item is any other business. I have one item for any other business. Does anyone else have one? Seeing no hands, Sebastian, go ahead.
Yes, but it may be put in the discussion for another meeting. I still feel very troubled with what is done with civil society issue, and I get more and more the impression that there are some wish to put together ALAC at large and NCSG people in one basket named civil society. And I really think that it's a reverse within at large. We have civil society participants, but not just only. And I really would like to have some time to discuss that in depth. And I don't think that it's good to be run by staff to go in one direction if we disagree. If we agree formally, I have no problem, but for the moment, we just follow what is done, and I really think we need to have an in-depth discussion together. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Heidi, may I ask, we have an action item to make sure on the Helsinki agenda there is a discussion of the ALAC without participants from other parts of ICANN. Not a closed meeting, but not attended explicitly by with speakers from either GSE or the other constituencies, so that we can have a discussion within the ALAC and RALA representatives of where we want to go on this. My other item on the agenda is simply a question for Ariel. We have several RALA elections that are going on, which are just about to close. Are there any at this point which are still under quorate?
Thanks, Alan. This is Sarah Leon for the record. There's only one poll that's under quorate, and the Uralos poll, and we have a 17 ALS representatives voted, and we need 19 to vote in each quorum. So two more votes to go.
And the poll closes when?
Poll closes tomorrow at 23:59.
Okay. So essentially, if two more people vote in the next day and a half, that poll will be quorate.
Correct.
Okay. So at this point, we probably don't have any danger of not having any ALAC members from any of the regions. I am rather disappointed at the level of voting in some of these regions, and I don't know what we can do about it, but clearly it's an indication that our regions are not functioning all that well, if even voting for ALAC members is something that is treated with a fair amount of apathy. So I think it's a measure of problems we have, and I think we're going to have to keep on looking at that as we look at ALSs and as we go into the at-large review. Any last points before we close? We are 5 minutes over, but it's been an interesting meeting. Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, I call this meeting to a close. Thank you all for participating, some of you at exceedingly awkward hours, and we'll see you online. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks,
everyone. Bye-bye.
The meeting has been adjourned. The audio now will be disconnected. Thanks very much for your participation. Have a lovely day.